And away we go. It is Friday morning, Friday, February the 18th, 2022, 15 minutes past the hour. You are tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, which can be heard live on this station every Friday morning at 11:15 a.m., replayed on Sunday morning at 8:15 a.m., and replayed again on Wednesday afternoon at 3:15 p.m. Also, archived episodes of the show dating back to March of 2018 are available on the website, wwgh1071.com. The Community Christian Fellowship Sunday Message is also broadcast on this station on Sunday at 12:15 p.m., and those are also available on the website. And now we turn to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Good morning, Scott. Good to see you this morning. We are also here with Fisherman Frank.
Good morning.
And good to be here this morning. I am Steve Whitaker, the pastor of Community Christian Fellowship. We are in Prospect, Ohio at 209 East Water Street. And love being on the show. You know, this is such a good time. We talk about so many different subjects. And sometimes, I don't know if you call it chasing rabbits or we just stumble in the rabbit hole, but we get to go in different directions sometimes, and it's kind of fun.
Well, that's what I was enjoying about President Harding is that it's a conversation. This morning, he came with like 7 speeches, and we would have done those, but the conversation just veered off in other areas, and that's fun.
I think it is fun. Yeah. I've never been one to want to stick to a script. I'm just not my makeup, I don't think.
Is it? No.
I think they call that ADD. anyway, I want to read something this morning, and it's something, Scott, we've touched on a lot of times in conversation, and I want to bring it to what the Bible says about it, and you'll know what I'm talking about when I read this, okay? This would be Matthew chapter 6. I've been preaching in Matthew, a series in Matthew, the last several weeks. I just finished the Beatitudes, and I'm continuing on with the Sermon on the Mount. And, of course, you can pick that up on Sunday at 12:15 here on the station at 107.1 FM. And then you can also, do we replay that one again?
You know, I don't know if that one replays or not. I know it's live at 12:15. I don't know if it does.
I think it does.
I don't think it
but
does.
Anyway, tune in for that or come to the church. We'd love to have you. But anyway, let me go to Matthew chapter 6. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do as thine alms, or basically we're talking about good deeds, therefore, when you doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Interesting passage there, and it's talking about something that there's kind of a fine line sometimes between we do good things, we do good deeds, we do things we're supposed to. You know, some people say that it takes good deeds to get in heaven, but the truth of the matter is it's a free gift from God through His Son Jesus Christ. But if we do have that relationship, we will want to do those good deeds. But what he's talking about here is some of these people in the synagogues, they would just do all these, wanted everyone to hear and see what they were doing. Look at this widow I just took care of. Look at this. They were real bad about using a lot of coinage in their basins when they would collect money, so you would hear it all drop. And people would look, and, oh, look how much they're putting in. I actually know a guy that did this the one time. Scott, you're going to get a kick out of this. And I didn't know it till someone that sat by him and kind of pointed it out to me and just kind of shook their head. There was a fellow that used to come, and on Sunday morning when they'd pass the plate, he would have a $50 bill in his hand. And when the plate would come by, he had a way that he would roll that 50 back into his fingers and drop a dollar in.
A little sleight of hand.
But he would hold the 50 out where everyone could see it, but he'd put a dollar in and then slide the 50 back in his pocket. And he did this every week. And I didn't know that. Someone told me, I kind of watched it. And it was funny, but it was sad. You know, it was funny that, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, but it was sad because didn't he realize that God could see what he was doing? And obviously he was more worried about, like this passage says, he wanted the approval of other people of look what he was doing rather than what was genuinely from the heart. But I think the problem that we run into sometimes, and it is hard, is that we should do good, kind things all the time. That's what we're called to do. We're called to love others more than ourselves, to love our neighbor, to lift up the poor, to do those things. So then when we do them, people do know. But I think that it comes back to, don't you think in a way, Scott, sometimes what we do has to come back to the intent of our heart when we do it?
Well, I think intent's a big one. And I think that's one of the biggest issues that people do have is, why are you doing it? And that's really the basis for everything, I think. Because if you do something good that happens to be good, but if you had a bad intent, I mean, bad intentions sometimes do lead to good acts. What did it mean?
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a good example. You know, we one of our sponsors is Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Prospect. You know, Jeff is, by the way, Jeff just does so much traveling on his bikes and just does some really neat stuff. But, you know, he was filtering some bikes to us that weren't something that he necessarily needed on his floor, but maybe some young people wanted. And maybe he don't want me saying this, but I'll do it anyway. Sorry, Jeff, you're out there. Anyway, Jeff would say, Steve, can you kind of get these bicycles out to kids without them knowing where it's coming from? So, and the purpose was he wanted to help kids, but he wasn't looking for it to come back on him. And we did. And he got quite a few bicycles that were, you know, he would make sure they were in good working condition and something a kid could use. And you did. And, you know, it was kind of nice because, he was able to do that, and he was doing it for the right reason. Does that make sense? And he wasn't saying, look, I need an award or people showing that I'm doing that. But, you know, there's so many people that do things. Just general kindness, just being there for people. You get so used when you're helping people and you're doing things as something you normally do and it becomes habit, it also becomes something that's very easy to do. But because I think of the cynical nature of people, and especially people that don't do anything, you ever find that interesting? You know, your biggest critic is going to be the people that wouldn't step up and do what you're doing anyway. How weird, huh? But anyway, they're going to look for an ulterior motive of why you'd be doing something so that they can. And I think when you're doing it for the right reason and that happens, it can really blindside you sometimes. It's like, wow, I can't believe that you thought that. But should that hinder us, Frank? Should that hinder us from continuing to do what's right?
Oh, absolutely not. It shouldn't hinder us at all. In fact, it should cause us to even try and increase our endeavor to do more.
I'll give you another good example. You know, Frank is one of the local nursing homes. He does a Sunday message for them every couple weeks and does communion and visitation. And I know why Frank does that. I know what's on his heart. He does a lot of senior ministry with the church, and that's where his heart is right now. But, you know, what if someone say, oh, he just wants to be around all those elderly people because maybe one of them will leave him something? You don't think that's something that people would say?
No, I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would.
But the whole point is, would that hinder him from continuing to do it? And I'll let him answer that.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Not at all. We're going to, you know, another thing that, go back in Matthew, a chapter back, and where it says, you know, blessed are you when people say all kinds of evil things about you for my sake. In other words, when you're doing what Christ would have you do, and you're taking heat for it. And he's saying, you know what, I'm going to bless you through that. And I think that we need to do that. I don't think that it's a time for us today in this culture, or in any culture has it ever been, when we take the goodness and hide it to preserve ourselves.
That's right.
You know, the passage that I just mentioned about what, when people say evil things about you, the passage right before it is talking about, let your light shine before men. And it's your light's not supposed to be hid under a bushel. In other words, don't let that happen. So we get in this position as Christians that we do what's right. We're supposed to do what's right. We're supposed to help people. We're supposed to continually do kindness. But as the scripture says, don't do it in a way that makes you look like you're trying to be grandiose and look what we're doing. And don't give what you're doing some big name that everyone's... You see what I mean? Try to do it in a way that it comes from the heart and it's recognized from the heart. But then we have this other problem we bump into a little bit. It's kind of... We want to encourage other people to do the same thing. So there has to be that level of letting people know what we're doing. Another good example I'll give you. The Hope Center here in Marion. They've got one in... Marysville, they're all over the place now. They're great. I mean, if you're a single mom or not even a mom yet, but you're expecting and you don't know what to do, maybe you weren't expecting this child, maybe you have no means, whatever the need is, you go to these people and they're gonna provide you the care that you need, the counseling that you need, the encouragement, the help to bring you along and bring you into that world of your child and help you as become a mother. That's a really neat thing. Well, the other night, last Friday night, I went to a dinner theater in Marysville, and it was the funds were used to support the Hope Center in Marysville, and a lady got up and told all about what they do. And then on Sunday, one of our members got up and talked about what they do here in Marion in our church to encourage people. Now, honestly, all of us that were talking were bragging on the Hope Center. But why were we doing it? It wasn't to say some grand way of look how great they are. It was, look, this is a great thing, and this is what's available, and we need to speak of the goodness of it and what's being done. And we got to be careful because people are going to always look for some negative in why you're trying to promote something good. People don't complain so much when you're out there promoting some gossip or some evil. They just take it and run with it. But many times when you're promoting something good and something positive, people want to take pot shots at it. And I would just want to encourage people to continue to do what's good. You know, one thing that we used to do all the time in our neighborhoods was we watched out for the neighbor kids. I got to tell you something. Lorna Murray used to fire me up with her fly swatter every now and then. And she was not my mother. But I know when Dana and I and Mark would get in a little bit of trouble, she'd just line us up and whack all of us. But the point was, she did it because she cared about us.
That's right.
It was that. We weren't concerned that the neighbor mom was going to come over and sue them, or she was going to do what was right. You know, if it was lunchtime and it was nothing for mom to say, you want to eat lunch with the kids today? We were more involved and we didn't worry so much. And I want to encourage people, don't worry so much about doing right. You do what's right. And it's just like this passage just said in Matthew. You do what's right and do it before your Father, your Father in heaven for the right reason. And he will honor you openly. What does that say? It doesn't say that I do it so that he'll honor me openly. It says if I do it for the right reason, from the right intent, and I'm not out there trying to get people to say, oh, look how wonderful they are, God's going to give you that outcome anyway, his own way. And that's when you look at people and you look back on their lives, after they're gone, and they end up with a legacy of integrity because of how they did it and what they did. And I wish sometime, I really wish sometime, to be honest, I don't want to get into politics today, but I'm going to go across the board with this one. I don't care what party you affiliate with or don't affiliate with. Our politicians could you stand to be a little more humble and have a little more integrity and real purpose in doing right in what they're doing and willing to take heat for what they believe rather than going with the flow so that they toe the party line so their position doesn't get ruffled. And that's on both sides. Whatever happened to people individually serving their districts?
I think they got voted out. I think that's exact. People, no, we love the show now. And nobody can disagree with that. We love the show. We vote for the show. We vote for the train wreck.
We do. So why?
You have to ask those people. I don't know.
But I have to tell you, it has nothing to do with doing what's right.
No, but if the guy or the woman showed up and was never raised their voice and spoke like this and gave speeches like this and had nothing nuts going on in their life and wasn't screaming and yelling, they wouldn't even get 10% of the vote.
Then how in the world did Chalmers Wiley stay in office for 30
different
years?
Different time.
It was a much different, because he was one of the most laid-back fellows I ever met in my life.
John Glenn couldn't get elected today.
No.
Too quiet.
Laid back. Before.
Yeah, but now, no, we love a good show. We
love a good fight.
We do.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I said in church last week something that is kind of a cliche, but stop and smell the roses. No, we don't want to stop and smell the roses anymore.
You know what we're afraid to do, and it comes to all this, everything that we've started talking about here today, which is all very important. It's a reflection of society, and that's what we're all scared to do. We want to say, oh, isn't that awful? Oh, aren't we electing the wrong people? Oh, isn't society worse today than it was? Well, but look in
to fix it.
Well, you know what? If the grandiose politician who is in your face, who you can't stand, was really all that bad, they wouldn't be elected. People are voting for those people. What can you do?
You know, certain things drive me nuts. You ever think, I say that quite often, because there are things that just drive me nuts. And one of the things that drives me nuts are people that will live in their little happy utopia little bubble. And, you know, oh, I've got my beautiful little garden. I've got my beautiful little place where I live. I don't go anywhere. I do this. I do that. Everything's fine. It's hunky-dory in my little world. And that's just the way it's going to be. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we're called to service. We're called to service in our lives. You show me someone that has answered the call to service and to caring and loving and putting others before themselves and being out there and even if they're a passive mover or shaker, being a mover and a shaker in a good way, you're going to see people that had a satisfying life in the end. We're not meant to just make everything nice in our own little bubble. That is why Lauren Murray would whack me with a fly swatter. Because, you know, it'd be a lot easier for Stevie, the cute little boy down the street, to think I'm just so wonderful. But, by golly, I heard him say a bad word, and he's getting whacked with my fly swatter. And we don't want to get involved anymore the way we should. We're afraid to, for one. And this is something that we can only do as people and as voters and as citizens, is that we've got to stop a lot of this frivolous silliness that's going on, where people attack people that are doing good because they didn't have a right to do that. I know that when I was back when most of us were in school, and probably imagine you too, Scott, we got whacked with a paddle when we were bad, or if we were bad, or at least that was one of the options. And, you know, that was pretty scary to have happen, plus embarrassing. You know, your friends see you get whacked, and you might end up shedding a tear. But then all of a sudden it would be today, if a teacher says anything, it's, don't you put your hands on me. What do you mean, don't put your hands? And then you'll hear a parent, don't you put your hands on my kid. You know, sometimes I think we need someone to put our hands on us, because we're out of line.
Well, you know what's interesting? Very little, and it's just one of those natural things. You either are surprised by things or you aren't. Very rarely am I surprised by anything anymore, and that's unfortunate, because you want to be surprised. And I'll never forget one time I was able to go into the prison about 4 years ago and interview inmates. And there were very strict rules about it. I could not ask them about their crime. I could not ask them their name, because they were in prison. And I'll never forget for the rest of my life, because it was one of those surprising moments. I'm up there. They're in the jumpsuit. I don't know their name. I can't ask about their crime. But I'm asking about being in prison. You know, we're sitting in the prison, the maximum security prison. And I said, you know, people in Marion drive by this place every day with barbed wire all around it. What do you want them to think about you who live in this place? And the guy said, I can remember the quote clear as day, he said that we're not stupid people, we did stupid things.
Amen.
And I thought, hey, now wait a second, that's a pretty well thought out idea. And you know, the cynics will say, oh, he knew he was on the radio. He was just trying to play that up, you know. But no, I'm telling you, his name wasn't out there. How would anybody know who it was who said it? He was saying that he was worried that people would think the rest of his life that that's who he was.
My brother, David, wrote a book one time called Full Restoration. And I remember the cover quite well. It was a picture of this beautiful little porcelain china teacup. And then it was broken. And in the next picture, it had been restored and put back together. But what the book was about was people, and pastors in particular in his case, that had made huge mistakes or grave mistakes or done something wrong, but they needed restored back to full restoration. And, you know, God offers people full restoration. He truly does. He doesn't hold these things against us. Many times we hold them against ourselves, or other people hold them against us. But there is a road back to redemption, and I think that we forget that sometimes. There's a road back from where we've been. Now, there's some things that are so egregious that will carry that scarlet letter the rest of your life. One of those is a tier 3 sex offender. That's going to be a tough one to shake.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Very few things I take a stand on when it comes to, because being on the radio, you don't want to be slanted. But one thing that drives me nuts about the state we live in, Ohio, why a convicted felon cannot run for office, even if they're out of office or out of prison. Why, if you're so fearful that they're going to, if they're so awful, people won't vote them in. What do you have to be worried about? Why can they not run for office?
I'm going to address that differently than some people would expect a pastor to address it. Or maybe not, I don't know. There was a time when I would have said, absolutely not, they shouldn't. When I was younger and before I lived life. And when I thought those to be a felon, that's a scary, bad person. But the truth of the matter is, I've learned over the years. First of all, some felonies are stupid mistakes. A lot of felonies are stupid mistakes. A lot of felonies are error in judgment in youth. A lot of felonies you might have gotten drug into with running with the crowd or doing whatever. Whatever the case is. But the truth is that a lot of people have not been convicted felons because they can afford a good lawyer. Now, and I've seen this firsthand in so many cases throughout my life. People that, man alive, they should be in prison, but here they are out there, and they're an alderman in their church. Mm-hmm. And so my point is this, that if we believe in restoration of people, why shouldn't they be able to? I think it's an old law, and it's they just kept on the books. Now, quite frankly, I might feel differently about a repeat felon.
Well, here's the thing. This is what, maybe it's just the way my thinking about this whole thing. A murderer is not going to get out of prison. You're not going to have to worry about that, and you shouldn't be able to run from prison. And how are you going to get elected anyway? So you're not going to see a murderer. You're not going to see that. What we're really talking, the severe crimes we're talking about above theft and all that are maybe a sex offender. And it is an awful crime, but they do get out of prison. But honestly, if a sex offender runs for office and they get voted in, you deserve what you get. You voted them in. Why is the government saying you can't even run? I don't understand that.
I can't answer to that because I'd have to look into it further. But I think the truth of the matter is
punishment. I think
punishment. Yeah. I firmly believe that people can be restored. And anybody that thinks, I tell people this all the time. You know, we all walk right next to the gutter, and the gutter is one step away from Scott Spears, Steve Whitaker, and Frank Robinson. The gutter is right there. One misstep, and we're in it. So before we get too proud and too cocky, we need to realize that, but for the grace of God, there goes I. One of my favorite things I hear people say. Because, you know, we have to keep our eyes focused where we need to be. We have to know that, you know, this is somewhere I won't go. I think after time, when you help other people, when you care about other people, it becomes part of your life to the point that you want to do what's right, and that would involve doing a felony. Unfortunately, our system has even gotten so corrupt that people can be convicted of felonies that never should have, and other people can be let off that didn't. So we need to revisit this whole thing. And I firmly believe, you know, we used to have a Department of Rehabilitation in this state, Corrections and Rehabilitation, and now they've become a Department of Housing.
Well,
and that's sad.
Well, isn't this the opposite side of where we started here, which I think is still on point on the topic? You know, what's people's motivation for doing something? Well, are they doing it to get praise on them. Well, you know, that works the other way, too, because if you are a felon, people do look at that and go, ooh, boy, gotta, that's bad. Well, you know, did they do that? So 20 years later, you'd be going, oh, geez, can't hire them, can't rent to them. I mean, why do we have to give an explanation for everything we do?
You know, it's interesting, Scott. People talk about, you know, how do you know the Bible's true? Well, first of all, if when they wrote the Bible, if it was going to be written from a false premise, they weren't very intelligent when they wrote it, because they used a lot of examples that are hard to believe. Like, to give you an example, during that time in our history of most of that time, for a few thousand years, men were the dominant figure, and they were given they were considered to be truthful, and women weren't of much respect. Well, why was it that when Jesus was first seen from his resurrection, he was seen by women? If you really wanted him to believe it, it would have been men, right? Why was it that Jesus elevated someone to the point that he did, as Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute? Why would you even put that in there if you want people to believe the story? Because there are events that happened. And the truth is that, and these events show, along with many, many, many others, that God is a God of restoration. God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God of bringing you back to where you need to be. So if that's the God that we believe in, and if that's the God that we... why aren't we helping other people back from where they need to be? Now, granted, we need to be sure that we protect our children. We need to be sure that... I think track record's important. If someone, you know, continually repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats, I'll give you a good story of someone that didn't. Al Mack. I bet you don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tell you today. Al Mack, back in the late 60s, the pastor of the church that I was I would have been a wee one at this time. There was a guy that was in prison. Al had done... he was, before he was even an adult, he was managing grocery stores and working for organized crime and learning everything you could imagine, and managing stores and shuffling money and laundering, and he ended up in jail and had been in jail a long time. Every time he'd get out, he'd end up back in. He was just part of the bad, he was a bad guy. And Al, when he was in prison, some guys talked to him. He started going to Bible studies, and he gave his life to Christ, and he got out of prison, and he asked the pastor of the church that I went to, Bill Brock, he was my pastor the whole time I grew up, if he could borrow his car to get to church that night. And I think it was a Wednesday night. And he borrowed the pastor's car, and Al went and robbed a bank in the pastor's car. And so Al went back to prison. But he also kept in contact with the pastor and said, look, I fell down. I'm sorry. You know, I slipped. I ran into some of my old buddies, and this happened. And, you know, I just, well, long story short, pastor forgave him just fine. Let me go on. Let me do one of the rest of the story. Al Mack, when he got out of prison, he had a little girl that, in the last time he was in, he had fathered a little girl to a woman that probably should have never had a child. And when Al got out, he got his little girl. She was just 4 or 5, and he raised her. And Al and his little girl attended the church that I grew up in. And Al would find things to help anyone and everyone he could. He was a pretty very brilliant businessman. But he started providing bedding for people from bedding places that might have seconds and this and that. And then he would buy groceries, and he was just constantly helping anyone he could. He was trying to make amends for what he had done and where he had been and show a difference in his life. Al Mack founded Mack Mattress Outlet. You remember them? The big mattress outlet. They were all over the Columbus area, and they had they sold discount mattresses, huge company. His daughter, Sherry, and her husband continued on with that business, the little girl that he raised. And Al spent the rest of his life being what everyone would call a total do-gooder for anyone that needed help. And he was a changed person. That's the kind of restoration I'm talking about that people can do. And we have to see that they're doing it. Now, if someone continually goes back to crime, you've got to question where they're at.
Well, you know, even when it's not crime, it's interesting. You know, we had the President Harding here this morning. And it's fascinating to me because now President Taft is a 20th century president, just a little over 100 years since he's been president. He's the only president that was appointed to the Supreme Court after he was president. He became the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court before he died. Only president to do that. If I could find an adult or a kid on the street today who even knew who Taft was, and there might be somebody because of the name in this area, the thing they will know about him is he was the fattest president. That's what they will know.
Yeah, so
forget
right.
that Supreme yeah. Court. Oh, he got stuck in a bathtub
sure,
possibly
once. Was, well, yeah. you know, Gerald Ford hit his head all the time.
Well, yeah, but I mean, honest to goodness. I mean, he was a Supreme Court justice. He was a Chief Justice. He was a President of the United States. He's the only person to do both those. What do we know about the man? He was fat.
Well, all young people know about today about John F. Kennedy was an affair with Marilyn Monroe. That's what's... But this, understand something, this is human nature. Human nature, left alone on its own, will always go to a negative. It never comes to a positive. And that is why we have the values we do in this country, and that is why we have a God to follow that sets those values in place that we follow, because human nature always... Always left alone and unintended will always go negative. It always does. We have to have some form of a standard that we agree to as a community, that this is a standard by which we live and what we do. We don't go in and steal out of our neighbor's pantry because it's wrong. Why is it wrong? If we're left to our own natural selves, I want it, I take it, just like a dog steals food from another dog's dish. We have to have a set of standards in which guide us each and every day. And if we don't realize that, society just goes amok.
Well, and that's where we started here, judgment. What are people saying you're doing that for an ulterior motive? What is your motive for doing that? Well, who cares? I mean, honest to goodness, I don't care why somebody does something. If it gets done, good.
But people do.
But I don't care if they do. Think what they want.
Well, we've
think
had
what
this
they
discussion
want.
Before, and we've talked about, you know, I know you've talked about sometimes, why do these churches have to announce this big thing they're doing when they're doing a great thing? Well, they do it because, well, for whatever reason, but the fact is, the truth is, it is getting done.
Right, but I would never ask them, because let them do it. Mm-hmm. You know, do it. If it gets done, good. If you are building ramps for senior citizens or handicapped people who can't afford it, for whatever, if it is PR, okay. If it's just because you want to do it, okay.
Sometimes you got to do a little PR to raise money. But you know, the truth is, I think that in with most of us, and this is why I'm a firm believer in the local church. And what I mean by that is, I think that we did ourselves a great disservice in this country when we started closing the neighborhood block church and started going to these bigger venues. Because what we had prior to that was about every 6 or 7, 8 blocks, there was a church. And people could walk to it, and they could invest in it. And what I mean is they could invest their time, their money, and everything in what that church is doing as a ministry. And they took care of their neighborhood, their local community people. They knew when someone in the church was out of work. They knew when there was needs being done. And they worked in that way. When we start jumping in cars and driving 20 miles so we could hear the next best praise band, that all went out the window.
You know, I think we might have a call here. Let's check it out, make sure it is for us. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I wanted to see what the pastor's thoughts on this was. I was listening to Linda Sims the other day. I don't know if it was a rerun or not, but she had a guy on there, and he was denying evolution ever happened.
The what?
Evolution. How man, you know, evolved.
Yeah.
And how old the earth is. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
Wow, you're really taking us off subject, David. That's just fine. My thoughts are that if someone really studies the truth of evolution, it's a lot harder to be an atheist, and you have to have more faith to be an atheist and to believe in evolution than you ever do creation because of the proof that's there. Unfortunately, in society, if you have a society that's going to be separated from God and not believe a God, you can't give the credit to God, so you got to stand on something, and that seems to be what's been stood on. I think what's really sad is when we can't have open debate to look at these things honestly and let scientists actually sit down and debate, and what we have in the earth, our geological forms, everything else involved, when you have to silence one side of the argument because you refuse to let it be heard, and we see that today. I know that creation scientists have a very, very hard time getting grants or getting tenured on any of our schools because they just need to be silenced. And I'm not going to tell anyone how to believe, but I think the debate needs to be wide open. It truly does. And you're talking to a true 100% down the road creationist when you're talking to me. And there's a real neat magazine out there. If you'll Google this, they'll send it to you for free. It's called Acts and Facts, ACTS and Facts. And it's put out by the Creation Research Council. And this is articles from good, solid scientists every month that the magazine comes out, that they openly debate all of this stuff from a scientific level. And it really is very, very eye-opening as to everything, the age of our Earth. There's so many things that they're finding out today, even the evolutionists, that they're scratching their head on how could this be if our Earth's as old as we say it is. One thing is the rate in which we're losing the gravitational pull on our Earth. We're losing it at a rate that if the Earth was as old as they say it is, we wouldn't even have an Earth anymore. It would have floated off in somewhere a long time ago. The Earth's a very unique place. And I would just encourage someone, you're more than welcome to think that I'm crazy. That's fine. A lot of people do. But what I encourage you to do is to research and look and keep an open mind and look into things. But I completely agree with the person that I didn't hear the show, but if they were saying that evolution didn't happen, one thing we have to understand is that things do change. They do change, and they do mutate, but most mutations are always in a negative way. Now, through selective breeding, we can make and do all kinds of really neat things, but one thing that we've never been able to do and will never be able to do is change that DNA structure. And that DNA, if you're a dog, you're a dog, you're a horse, you're a horse, you're a person, you're whatever you are, and that doesn't suddenly change, and it has never changed, and they can't find any example of that ever changing. We can mutate DNA in a negative sense and hurt DNA, but if you are genetically a person, you will be genetically a person. It can't mutate in a different thing, and that's another thing they have a hard time with and real stumbling. I encourage you to look at some of the things that are recently out there. Look up the Creation Research Council and look at some of the stuff they have out there that's really neat, that you will not get the opportunity to witness that on our local news. You won't get the opportunity to witness that in any educational things because they essentially have banned that from being in our public education system because it requires the belief in a higher power, a God, or actually intelligent design. And so they, as long as the argument is kept one-sided, they're fine. So you have to look up these things on yourself by yourself and let that debate be out there because, unfortunately, it's not been allowed in our public forum.
You know, in this day and age, it's very interesting because we had a discussion on another show about book banning, and it has to do with schools. But honestly, I'm still trying to figure out, how does a school ban a book? I mean, they can take it out of their curriculum. They can.
I think if it's something that is disgustingly immoral or something, it should be. Kids, there are certain things kids shouldn't be reading. But beyond that,
but how do you keep them from finding it on Amazon? How do you keep them?
They can, but they're not gonna. They're gonna do what's convenient.
Well, I don't know. I think sometimes that's convenient for them these days, is to get on Amazon and read the thing
within the school. The school can't control what you do at home.
Right. To me, the book banning, I don't. You know, if a school says you can't read the book here, okay. And we get all outraged when the school does that. But there are so many other places that kids are getting influences from these days that they go where they can hear about that book, where they can see that book, where they can get that book. The whole reason, you know, a matter of fact, if you say I'm going to ban a book, you have given that book more attention than if you would have just not brought it up at all.
You know, when our kids are in school, they have their undivided attention. Well, kind of. More so than anywhere else. And so that's where things are actually taught and learned. When kids leave school, they're not trying to learn things. Kids are on social media, talking to friends, getting freaked out because someone said something bad about them, whatever. They live on those phones, and they're not looking up encyclopedias. That's not what they do. So the school really has a very, they have an audience. They have an undivided attention there. And if the school boards on a, if our, can ban certain things that they don't want their kids to know, the kids probably aren't going to see them. And unfortunately, I was in at a book fair a few years ago for kids in the school book fair, and I noticed there were books on Muhammad. There were books on Allah. Wasn't a thing about God anywhere in there. Why was that? Because God has become a taboo thing in this country. There are movements to make Christianity hate speech because of what the Bible teaches that we believe. Why can't I believe something? If I believe something's wrong, but I don't hate you, why am I not allowed to believe that that's wrong? You know, since when do we have to have thought police today? I can disagree with something completely and think that something you're doing is horrible and dead wrong and you should never do it. But Scott, it doesn't mean that I dislike you. It doesn't mean that I don't think you have the right to do that. I may wish you didn't do it, but don't call me a hater because I think it's wrong, because obviously, if I believe that, you think I'm wrong, so are you a hater because you think what I believe is wrong?
Well, but you know what? Human beings very rarely change in this fact. If I'm in a classroom, if I'm talking about kids, whether it's an elementary school, middle school, high school, or a college, if there is a noise that sounds like two kids fighting in the hallway, every kid in that classroom is going to the hallway, even though I'm standing there going, don't go out there, we have to finish this. It's attention. And you know what? If there's a wreck on the side of the road and there's flashing lights, they're driving slow as they could be, because we're calling attention to these things. And I know that if I stand up and I say, we're not going to read fill in the blank, these come out immediately, and they're searching the title of that book to find out why doesn't that teacher want me to read fill in the blank?
Because it is such a natural thing for us, even when you say there's a fight or there's an accident or there's a fire, we have a tendency to digress rather than progress in what's good and what's right, and it's those kind of things that get us excited. Caller, I hope I answer your question.
I think we're getting another call here.
Go ahead,
caller.
I think I remember hearing on your interview with Phil Donahue, if it bleeds, it leads.
That's the news. Yeah.
If it bleeds, it leads.
If it bleeds, it leads.
That's a theme that I keep hearing in this discussion. You have, if it bleeds, it leads. You don't want to be good and boring. You can be bad and exciting.
That's right. You got it.
All right, toodle.
Thank you. But you know, honestly, the point of that is, I think, is what we're talking about here. The problem is, if the hallway's quiet and the maintenance man's out there cleaning the floor, you're not rushing out to see that.
No, but caller, one thing I do here on the pastor spot, and I kind of the purpose behind what I do, I understand completely what you're saying. But what I'm saying is this: I hope that I give you guys some information and some hope, and wanting to move you in your personal lives in a positive direction, so that when you're not in front of the news, you're not in front of the picture window or anything like that, and you have that time to yourself, you can begin to find some peace and joy in your life, and pull yourself away from that. I don't do this show from a sensational point of view. I try to do it from a reality point of view to help you when I'm not on the air.
Well, I just wanted to make this about what you just said about the first caller about evolution. Now, I don't know if that caller believes in evolution or not.
I don't
I have no idea. He didn't say when he said it. But you know what? He's listening to this show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Exactly.
Stay out of your... If you are the smartest person in your group, get a new group. And that's it. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, Scott. If I'm the smartest person in my group, it's not a very smart
that's
group.
That's right. If we only pay attention and only want to be around or on something, you and I have had this discussion, why would you want to be on a station that totally agrees with you all the time? You are not going to sway.
And the thing is, all your listeners are going to be people that agree all the time.
Agree already. Preaching to the choir.
I love to see, if our church was, I heard someone say that this is really neat. If everyone in your church has it together, your church is in a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Well, I just think it's very fascinating. And again, I don't know what the caller believed, but to ask the question, it seems like there was a question.
And that was a good question.
And that was a good question.
Very good question.
And it's an evolution question from a man who is listening intently to a show hosted by a preacher. He knew what you believed, I'm pretty sure, on evolution.
But he's
listening.
Yes.
So regardless, that's the point.
Absolutely. I thank you, callers, today. We're about out of time here. I do want to encourage you, though. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our service time is 10:30 on Sunday morning. We have services before that, during the week, all kinds of things going on. I welcome you to come. You can call us at 740-494-2222. Hey, God bless all you guys, and just have a great week, and I hope that you're growing each and every day.
7.1 FM, The Talking Place. For guests like legendary ABC News correspondent Sam Donaldson.
Over the course of this program, we have had a lot of great guests on. We've had Hugh Downs. We have had David Hartman. We have had Marvin Kalb.